1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're down at the end of the chapter today, verse number 23. And we will go to verse 33 this evening, finishing up 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Follow along if you would in your Bible as I read aloud, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse number 23. Paul wrote this: "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them believe bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, Why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this Sunday evening. We thank you for this church and its open doors. We thank you for those, Father, that value this time and have come out tonight to fellowship and to hear from the Word of God. And I pray, Father, you'd feed our spiritual beings tonight. God, may our spiritual health, Father, be as healthy as we try to make our physical health to be. And Lord, I pray you'd take your Word and speak to us and show us things, great and mighty things from your word that we know not, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I put the title of the message for tonight in the bulletin. It's about others. And that's what Paul is talking about in these verses. He's talking about the liberty that he has in Christ, and yet though he has liberty, he does not take license. Those two things are opposites, liberty and license. We have the liberty to do whatever we want to, but we do not have the license to do whatever we want to. Do you understand the difference between the two? You have the liberty to do anything you want to. You're saved, and whatever you do does not affect your salvation. You're a child of God. You're adopted into his family. Your kinship to him is permanent, safe, and secure. But that doesn't mean we have the license to do everything we want to. Take your Bible, if you would, and keep your place there. But go back to Romans chapter 7 for just a moment. Let me illustrate this if I can. Romans chapter 7, kind of a familiar passage, and really Paul talking about something slightly different, but I want you to see something about it that ties into what we're looking at right now. Romans chapter 7, down verse number 15. Romans chapter 7, verse number 15. Paul said here, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Can I give you some words of encouragement this evening, that the greatest Christian that ever lived had a problem with his flesh? He had a problem doing things that his spirit didn't want him to do. He had a problem not doing sometimes things the spirit wanted him to do. And I would thus say that if he had that problem, the author of many books in our New Testament, if he had that problem in the flesh and in the spirit, you and I will go through that problem also. Not everything that we want to do, should we do. Not everything that we desire to do is beneficial for us to do. And what Paul is going to explain to us, we're going to read more in Romans 7, but what Paul is explaining to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is that you and I have to have the wisdom and the knowledge in the Word to be able to discern between those things that are expedient, those things that edify, those things that are for other men's prosperity, and those things that are not. There are some things we just ought not do. Paul continues here in Romans chapter 7 and says in verse 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not." I love the wording. It gets kind of difficult or hard, I guess, sometimes, but once you get familiar with it, it's very clear. The good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's very simple. "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Paul is talking about a theological and doctrinal truth here that's very, very deep, but I'm looking right here as we draw from it from the practical truth that there were things that Paul said I should do and things that I should not do. There were places I should go and places I should not go. There were things I should say and things I should not say. Things I should do and should not do. If Paul had that struggle and that battle, you and I are going to face that battle too. Don't get overly discouraged when it happens. That's what happens when you're trying to live right. When you're trying to serve God. And when you do not do right, then your conscience gets the better of you. And you know it's not right. You know the difference between a lost person and a saved person? A lost person can sin and it doesn't bother their conscience. A saved person sins and it bothers them. And Paul is telling us, here's what happens. Everything we do is not necessary to do, and sometimes we ought not do the things that we are doing. So what we have really in these verses is the principle of liberty. Notice that word down in verse 29. Conscience, Paul said, that we're back in 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 29, "Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty?" People today make a lot out of Christian liberty, and we do have liberty. But can I tell you, there are limits on liberty. Liberty does not mean the complete freedom to do anything. We have liberty in our nation, in our country. We have freedom. Thank God for that. You don't have the liberty to go out and shoot someone else. You don't have the liberty to go spit in someone's face. There are limits on your liberty. You have liberty in Christ. Thank God for that. You're free. Free from sin. Free from the chains that bound you. But at the same time, though you have liberty, you do not have license to do anything you want to. We need to be mindful of others, and that's kind of the title. It's about others. Let's look at this principle of liberty tonight as I believe it's laid out here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23 to verse number 33. First of all, I want you to see this, the principle stated. The principle stated, and we're talking about the principle of liberty now. But in verse 23 and verse 24, it's the principle stated. Notice what he says in verse 23. "All things are lawful for me." Yes, you can do whatever you want to. "But all things are not expedient." You know what expedient means? It means in other places in the Bible, immediately necessary. Expedient speaks of time. And it speaks of necessity. You can do anything you want to, but do you need to? Is it important to do that? You can say anything you want to, but is it needful for it to be said? Paul said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." If we take the principle of liberty, which we tend to pick up like a running back with a football and run with it, if we take that principle of liberty and don't recognize our liberty is limited, we're going to abuse our liberty in Christ. And in the process, we're going to offend and hurt others. Notice what Paul said up there in verse 33, and we'll get to it. Even as I please all men in all things. See, that's contrary to our human nature. Bless God, I'll do what I want to do. Well, when it comes to serving God, do it. But when it comes to other areas and other things in life, we have to be mindful of others. I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit. That indwells us. Not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many. It's about others. So in considering whether or not we should do, say, go, whatever it is, Paul said, all things are lawful, I can do it, but it's not expedient. It's not necessary. I don't need to. I think of the area of speech, and that's probably the most prominent of that, just saying things that we don't have to say. Saying things that are not necessary to be said. Slanderous. They can even be true, but they're hurtful. We need to be careful. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. So when it comes to the area of liberty, ask yourself the question, can I do it? Yes, I can. Should I do it? Is it expedient? But not only is it expedient, does it edify? Look at the rest of verse 23. All things are lawful for to me. He repeats that a second time. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. What does the word edify mean? It means to build up, to encourage. Sometimes we don't need to do things because they don't encourage others. They discourage others. Can I say you encourage one another by your attendance at church? He said, I don't teach a Sunday school class. I'm not a deacon. I don't wash the windows. I don't do whatever it is. I don't do any of those things. Now, many of you do. Most of you are involved in some way. But some people say, well, I just don't do anything. You serve the Lord by being here. You serve the Lord by being faithful and being part of the body of Christ. And you're an encouragement. We had someone here, and I won't give Jane Carr's name out tonight because she's not here to defend herself. We had someone here that hasn't been here for 2 or 3 weeks, and I notice who's not here. And so I teased her this morning, asked her if she would take a visitor card and fill it out for us so I could make sure everybody knew who she was. She's been out of town with family, things like that. That's understandable. That's fine. We're just having some fun right there. But we notice when someone's not here. Part of the body is missing. And believe me, if part of your body's missing, you ought to notice it. Hey, where'd that finger go? I used to have it. And so we encourage, we edify, we build up one another by our fellowship, by our singing together, by our testimony, by our words, by our actions. You can do anything you want to, but is it expedient? You can do anything you want to, but does it edify? Well, I'm not worried about edifying others. I'm just worried about myself. That's the opposite of edification. That's gratification, doing what we want to do the way we want to do it. So Paul gives us this principle and tells us to ask these questions. Is it expedient? Does it edify? Then verse number 24, he said, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. So the third part of this principle, does it benefit others? Now when we see that word wealth, we're thinking dollar signs, but there's more to wealth than just money. There is health. There is emotional stability. There is spiritual maturity. And we are to seek one another's wealth. All right? Not just our own. That comes natural. He didn't have to tell us to do that. But to seek it for others. To build up other people. To edify other people. To encourage other people. That ought to be what's expedient to us. Boy, if we had a church full of people like that, if we had a community full of people like that, if we had a nation of people like that, it'd make a difference in the world. Because you know what Paul said down in verse 33, and that's kind of the end of this, is when you have those qualities, He says, but the profit of many that they may be saved. When we're careful that our actions glorify God, is it expedient? Does it edify? Is it for the benefit of others and not just for me? That's the principle of Christian liberty. See, most think today that Christian liberty means the freedom to do whatever they want to do. No one can tell me no. No one can judge me. And if you say anything, especially from a pulpit, about Christian living and watching your language and your behavior and your dress and your attitude, oh, you're just being a Pharisee. You're being legalistic. And I'm not a legalist. I believe in liberty. Well, Paul believed in liberty too. But liberty is not license. It's not the freedom to do whatever you want to do. Is it expedient? Does it edify? Does it benefit others? That is the principle stated. Then secondly, in verse 25 to verse 28, I see the principle illustrated. I like how the Bible does that. Paul is following the example of the Lord Jesus, who would teach and then give a parable or an illustration of what it meant. And so Paul takes that principle and he illustrates it. And he does so, and I've got to be careful in how I say this, I don't want to accuse Paul of doing it, in kind of a complicated way, a confusing way. Say, preacher, what do you mean by this? Well, here's what happens. In verse 25 and verse 26, he tells us it's okay to eat. Now you say, well, I knew that already. You have to eat. Well, notice verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles. Now that's the only time that word appears in our Bible. We have no cross-reference for that. But in a minute we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where we did see something very similar to this. And the shambles appears to be the marketplace in town. If you've ever been in a different country where the marketplace, you see some of the missionary slides sometimes, and everybody's going to the marketplace, it's a shambles. All right, it's not a well-lit, well-maintained, sanitary place. Everybody's moving about. They're selling meat over here and vegetables over there, and there's no separation between one and the other. There's contamination going on. It's amazing people live through any of that stuff. So I think the word shambles is a good word to use there. But he's saying, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, in the marketplace, that eat. Notice those two words, that eat. That's why I say it's okay to eat. Whatever is sold in the shambles, you're walking through that marketplace. You find something over here, something over there. You don't say, where did this come from and how did it get here? You just look at that and say, well, that looks good. I think I'll have some. Paul says it's okay. That eat. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat. Asking no question for conscience sake. It's okay to go ahead and eat it. Take your fill. Verse 26 says, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Keep your place there. Go, if you would, over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. This first illustration of this principle is very clear to us. We are allowed to eat whatever we want to eat. You remember that Peter, when he saw the sheep being lowered down from heaven with all kinds of animals, including pork, including pig. We were at Camp Victory the other day and they were having brisket. Wow. Whoever invented that should get a star, all right? If you can call it invented that. They had brisket and it was pork. And they announced, they said, anybody here that doesn't eat pork, we've got some beef brisket also. And I thought, phew, I'm going for the pork. You know, you wouldn't have done that back in Old Testament days. You wouldn't have done that in New Testament days at the early founding of the church in Jerusalem. There would have been a problem with that. Peter had to get a vision that it was okay. The Lord said to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever passed these lips. I've never eaten pig meat. Never had bacon. Man, those guys lose out. I hope they got a great heavenly reward for that because they didn't get the earthly one. But they said, no. Peter said, no, I can't eat any of that. And the Lord said to Peter, what God hath cleansed, that call not common. He taught Peter, you can eat it. It's okay now. It's all right. You can eat it. But Peter wasn't sure about that at the time. Notice what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. All those dietary laws in the Old Testament about the hoof and chewing the cud and all that kind of stuff. You can't eat this, you can't eat that. You can have lobster now if you want to. If it's sanctified by it, you can have Rocky Mountain oysters. If you don't know what that is, ask Daryl. He's the expert here. He's brought them to a church dinner several years ago. But you can eat anything you want to if it's sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. And so back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 25, Paul says, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat. Asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's okay to eat. But in verse 27 and 28, you know what Paul tells us? It's not okay to eat. And again, there's the contradiction. In verse number 25, it said, that eat. In verse number 28, in the middle of the verse, it says, eat not. Look there, right in the middle of verse 28, those two words, eat not. So there's some things you can take and eat. There are some things you can eat not. You've got to have the discernment to know which ones to eat and which ones not to eat. And you know what it depends on, according to Paul's explanation here? It depends on others. Look, if you would, at verse number 27. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, remember what he said before? Whatsoever you find in the shambles, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. If you're in the shambles and you're walking about there and you're grabbing meat and you're eating it, everything's fine, it's okay. But if you're bid to a feast and somebody comes up and says, hey, by the way, Christian, did you know that food has been sacrificed to idols? Paul says, don't eat it. So there are times when it's okay, times when it's expedient, times when it's lawful, and times when it's not okay. And what does it depend on? The effect it has on others. Now, we don't often have a situation like Paul had back here. We don't go to the shambles. We're not worried. You're not going to find meat that's been sacrificed to idols very easily around here. But the principle is being illustrated that's the same. There are sometimes it's okay, and sometimes it's not, and it's the same thing. You and I need the discernment of God to know if it's going to offend someone. Look, if you would, and I mentioned this already, for 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 7. We covered this a while ago, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat it as a thing of offered unto an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. He's talking about eating that meat that's offered to idols. Doesn't taste any different. It's not going to have a different effect on your digestive system. It's not contaminated. He says, verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Ah, well, you're just a weak Christian. Paul says, go down to their level. Don't do it if it offends them. Don't do it if it bothers them. For if any man see thee which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You see what Paul said? I have liberty in Christ. I can eat all things. It's not poisonous. It's not going to have a bad effect on me because it was offered unto idols. We talked about it in 1 Corinthians 8 when we looked at that, that sometimes they tell us that the meat that was offered to idols was discounted and sold cheaper than the other meat there. And Paul says there's nothing wrong with all that stuff, but if it makes someone else offended, I'll not eat and I'll not touch of it. The principle illustrated, it's okay to eat. It's not okay to eat. And again, we don't take that lesson per se, but we weigh that in light of the things that we do in our life that are questionable. And sometimes, should we do it? Is it expedient? Should we do it? Does it edify? Should we do it? Does it benefit others? Or is it for our own pleasure? The principle stated, the principle illustrated, then thirdly and lastly, in verse 29 to verse 33, the principle demonstrated. The principle demonstrated. Paul shows in his own life how he makes the decision. How he decides when it's right or when it's wrong. He says in verse 29, conscience I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So the principle Paul applies to his life and demonstrates is simply this: I'm going to do it if it pleases God. If it pleases God. If what you do pleases God, then do it. As long as it's not offensive to others. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. Sometimes the things that we are considering doing, saying, places we're considering going, if we ask God, we know what his answer is going to be, so we don't ask him. Because we know he might say no. He might rain on our parade. He might disallow something to be said, something to be done, somewhere to be gone. And so we need to seek God's favor first and predominantly over everything else. And you say, well, I'll stop right there. But Paul didn't. He said in verse 32, give none offense. Do what is pleasing to God, but also what is pleasing to others. Again, we're not talking about compromise in the area of Christian living, but we're talking about life and the opportunities in life. He says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God, the three prominent groups back in that day. The Jews and the Gentiles, sometimes contradictory to one another. The church trying to be holy and sanctified by their faith. Paul says, be careful, examine when you're considering it, whether it's expedient, whether it edifies, whether it benefits others. Is it offensive to the Jews? Is it offensive to the Gentiles? Is it offensive to the Church of God? And again, offensive in the area of being a hindrance from them believing the gospel. A hindrance in them coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 33, and we've covered it already. Even as I please all men in all things. What a challenge. Paul, in his missionary journeys and his great travels to all those different lands and cultures and peoples, he stirred up the people. Somebody said those that have turned the world upside down have come. And Paul preached the gospel boldly. And yet at the same time he said, I please all men in all things. He had been falsely accused sometimes of taking a Gentile into the temple simply because they saw him with Gentiles and assumed that they were doing that. But he did everything he could to not break the law, to keep it, to be pleasing in the sight of others. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit. That verse 33 would be a great verse to write down on a 3x5 card and put on our refrigerator and memorize. A verse most folks don't think of when they talk about memorizing a verse. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You know, it's hard to offend somebody when you're seeking to please them. Now, I know some people can be offended no matter what. I got that. But it's really hard for an ongoing thing to go if we're following verse number 33. Seeking to please others, not seeking our own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. Do we have license in Christ? Absolutely. Do we have liberty in Christ? Yes, we can. But are we to use that liberty as an excuse for doing anything we want to do? For doing it our way? Having it our way? Or are we mindful of the Lord and mindful of others? What do our actions, what do our words, what effect do they have on other people? That's what we cannot say, folks, in a right relationship with God. We cannot say, I don't care. I don't care what my actions do for others. I don't care what my words. Now, again, we're talking about being faithful to the gospel. That's one thing, but our daily life is another. The principle of liberty. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.